God word this evening, let's turn to Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Let the Lord add his blessings upon the reading of these verses. In our last class, we have been dwelling on verses 6 to 18, where we saw the return of Naomi and Ruth to Bethlehem. We saw the matter that persuaded them for that. It was what she heard, the message she heard about God's visitation upon his people in Bethlehem. And then we saw the parting to return, that if she requests her daughters-in-law to part from her. But we see one was, both were reluctant at first, but then she gave the reason for parting one from another. And we saw one relented, and that was Orpah, and one refused, that was Ruth. And by the way, looking at verses 16 to 18, there we see the beautiful confession that Ruth makes about the determination that she had. We have seen various practical truths in connection with that confession. No need of going into all that. And towards the end of it, we have seen these three women as representatives of three kinds of people: the natural, the carnal, and the spiritual. And Ruth represents the spiritual. And it's our duty that we may belong to that fruit, the spiritual, having that determination, having that confession. She gave away everything that she could have held fast to. And she followed her mother-in-law's footsteps in faith. That's a great example to each one of us, to live a life of faith for the glory of God. Now when you come to this passage, that's the last portion of this chapter 1, you can call it as the arrival at Bethlehem. The passage before that, we saw the return. They were returning from Moab. And if they decided to return from Moab, and if they started their journey, then they have to arrive at Bethlehem. And here we have the arrival. And when I look at this verses 19 to 22, we see five or six times it's told that they came back, they arrived. Look at verse 19. the middle of it, or rather the beginning of it, they came to Bethlehem, until they came to Bethlehem. The last portion of it, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem. Then in verse 21, Lord had brought me home. And then when we come to verse 22, so now we return. And again we have the mention of the return, returned out of the country of Moab. And then the last portion of it, we have the mention of their arrival again. They came to Bethlehem. So in this four verses, we have five or six mentioned about their arrival at Bethlehem. Or the writer is calling us to take attention about their arrival, how they arrived, or what happened there. And when you read these verses, we see Naomi has now, she is being placed by the Lord on the higher plane, right? That's what we sang in the beginning. She is in Bethlehem. She had gone down to Moab. Now she is back. Now when you look at the return of these two, there is Naomi and Ruth. If you look at it in a spiritual way, we can see the return of two groups of people, or the coming of two groups of people into the presence of God. In Naomi, the return of a backslider. What about the Ruth, in connection with Ruth, what about Ruth? The coming of the sinner to the fold of God. A Moabite is coming to the presence of the Lord. Or here we see the return of a backslider and a sinner. And in connection with the group of the Lord, in connection with the gathering of the Lord, these two should happen always. The backsliders returning. And when I say backsliders, I am not telling about the big backsliders, but are we all, you and I. Every time it happens, you know, going away from the Lord, in one way or the other. So we all need to come back. And not only that, sinners should be added to the presence of the Lord. These two should happen in connection with the local assembly every time. So when we look at it in that way, we have certain things for application even in this last portion of this chapter 1. Now when you look at verse 19, there we see the response to the arrival. And in 20 and 21, we have the repentance at arrival. And at the beginning of verse 22, we have the result of the arrival. The last portion of it, we have the rest at the arrival. Well, let's explain it. Coming to the first one, that is the response. When they arrived, what was the response, or what was the reception that they got? Then we see like this. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? That's the response. That's the reception she got. And as we had seen earlier, well, this family of Elimelech was very ancient, traditional family there in Bethlehem. And we took note of it from one description that's given about them, that they were, remember, Ephratites. They were Ephratites. Ephrata was the earlier name of Bethlehem. So when it says they were Ephratites, that means they were ancient families in Bethlehem.
And here we see that the whole city was moved about because of the arrival.
If it were just an insignificant person coming back, an insignificant widow are coming back to the city, no one would have taken note of it.
But the whole city was moved. And they all came. And the last portion of verse 19 says, and they said. And they said. And that word they used there in the original is feminine. That means the people who came around were all,
well,
ladies, women folk. What happened to the men? Most probably they may be all in the harvest field. As we see in the last portion of the passage, there's harvest time. They are all busy in the field. And women had finished their work in the home. So they all came to receive this woman, this widow, and a daughter-in-law. And what did they say? Is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? With what attitude they said this, we do not know. The writer is not telling anything about it. Probably the emotion, the attitude that they all had may be different. Some may be wonderstruck. Some may be elated with joy. Some may be telling this with much sorrow. Right? All emotions will be there. Those who were telling this with sorrow might have said like this, oh, is this Naomi? Right? Remember how you went? How fat you were then? I remember the sari that you wore when you went? I remember all the family going together. But is this Naomi? Is this the same Naomi? That means they were telling that with sorrow. Definitely there were many women there who expressed that with a sorrowful heart. Because it's not the same Naomi. So different she was. And then some may be with joy also. Is this Naomi? Oh, many years afterwards we are meeting, right? We got news about all the things that happened. We were all very much with you. Is this Naomi? You're welcome back. So there may be some who express their joy also in that statement. And definitely some might have expressed their wonder also. What would it be? It's with mixed reaction or response that she received there when she came back. So here we have the response for the arrival. One thing we have to remember, as I mentioned at the beginning, this arrival of Naomi and Ruth speaks to us about the return of a backslider or the coming of a sinner, addition of a sinner unto the church of God. And when one returns, always there will be various kinds of reactions. And let me tell you one thing. We who are on the receiving side ought to give a warm welcome to those who are returning and those who are being added to the local church. The joy. Well, some people are absent from the meetings for many weeks, and if we go and meet them, and if we ask them to come for the gathering, many a time the response they would give is this, I've been not coming for many weeks, if I come, people will ask me, where you were, and they will come with so many questions. Many a time people who were away were hesitant to come back because of the way they are received back to the gathering. time if an outsider comes to our gatherings,
here it may be different, but commonly, let me tell you,
most probably they will not have a likeness to turn again for the gathering the second time.
They will feel as if they are outside, like a fish outside the water. Somebody has compared the assemblies, the local assemblies, to a hospital. Hospital is for whom? Is it for healthy people?
No, it's for sick people, isn't it? People with various problems. People who are weak. People who are troubled. They are the ones who come to the hospital. And such people should be welcome there, isn't it? They should not feel as if they are outside the water. But many times it's not happening because we are not thinking about the local gatherings as a hospital. We think of it as a hotel. A place of joy. A place to enjoy. And many times what happens is others are left out, outside the joy. This happened even in the time of Paul. You remember, to give a good reception to one who was returning, Paul had to write a letter. And it's added to the New Testament. You remember that? You remember that letter? Yeah, Philemon. Paul knew that if Onesimus is sent back to Philemon just like that, without an introduction letter, without saying anything, without asking Philemon to receive him, the reception he would get there would be very cold. Philemon is not going to believe the story that he is going to tell there. And probably Philemon will call the police and try to see that he gets back all the valuables that Onesimus took. So he says, if you think of me as a pastor, receive him as myself. If you think of me as a pastor, if we have a koinonia one another, if we have a fellowship one another, with the same attitude, receive him.
It's a very important thing that we have to remember as we dwell together. Our response to those who return. And that's necessary for the increase of the local gathering. Coming to the next one. See the repentance. Verses 20 and 21. Not telling that it is here that he repented. It happened, it started, therein, Moab itself. That's why she came back. Now she has arrived at Bethlehem. She is among her own people. She is giving a testimony to the dealings of God with her. And what she says is very beautiful, and I am sure that all of us are very familiar with these two verses. People call her Naomi. She is telling, don't call me Naomi. Why? Naomi means what? Pleasant. Don't call me pleasant. She renamed herself. What's the new name? Call me Mara. Means bitter. And she says the reason also, for the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then calling me Naomi? Seeing the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty had afflicted me. So my condition is not as it should be befitting to my name Naomi. So don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. Call me Mara. Now tell me, where did she get this name from? Yeah? From their own history. from their own history. We have that in chapter 15 of Exodus. In chapter 15, we see the people of God, Israel, crossing Red Sea. And after they crossed, they came to the wilderness of Shur. And there was no water. They went from there and came to Marah. And there the water was bitter. And that's why that place is called Marah. They could not drink the water there. And then we see what? People complaining. And Moses bringing the complaint to the Lord. And the Lord showing a tree. He cut the branch, put it in there. And it was healed. It was healed. And later on, coming to verse 26 of that chapter, we see the Lord revealing one of the names of himself. Which name? Jehovah Rapheka. Jehovah Rapheka means Jehovah that heals. Jehovah that heals. He healed the water there. He made the victor in the street. God can do that. And now from that piece of history, well now, this woman Naomi is taking that name. And let us be very sure that Naomi and also all these people in Bethlehem are very much conversant with their own history. And all the Jews are very much conversant with their history. They know it very well. Especially the Mosaic Law, the first five books and all that, they are very sure about it. You ask any question, they will be able to answer. And so when she says, call me Mara, well, the thought of all those who are present there might have gone to chapter 15 of Exodus. And then she said that she also might have thought about that portion only. Call me Mara. But let me tell you one thing. If this portion has got a connection with that portion in Exodus 15 in that way, well, it's not simply a renaming. Here what we have is a repentance being expressed. And if we take it so, there are at least three things that we can understand from this, which is an essential thing, which are three essential elements for any repentance. First of all, she accepts her responsibility. She says, I went out full. Or putting another way,
I went out full. Then I went, well, things are full, so it's not empty. As I mentioned at the beginning, while we were in the introduction, well, the famine was there, but the condition of this family was not that bad. But they feared it. They feared the world. So in fact, there was no need for them to go. They could have continued trusting the Lord in the same land. But they went. Now she is thinking about that departure and she says, I went out full. She didn't say Elimelech did it. She could have easily said that, right? Elimelech would have come back and fought with her for that. And she didn't blame the children. She could have blamed many things around. But she says, I went out full. Took the responsibility. And that's exactly what should happen in a repentance. In a true repentance. When we come back to the Lord. Taking the responsibility. It's me. But one thing we have to remember, she realized that she was full only when she went away from Bethlehem, right? Through all the experiences that she went through in Moab and until now. And to make us realize that there was no need for departing from the Lord also may send us through various circumstances, experiences. You remember prodigal son. Father loved him very much. But when he was in the house, he was not able to appreciate the love of the father. He started appreciating the love of the father when? Not in the home, then in the faraway country. God had to send the children of Israel also away into Ashur and even to Babylon and all that. And it is there that they came to know how good it is to serve the Lord than to serve the pagan king. Now she also went out full, but she did not appreciate the fullness, the worth of it while they went. Now going away in love and going through all the circumstances and experiences, now she has come to realize the importance of it. And now she is learning the responsibility. I went out full. For I return to the Lord, this is the first step. Secondly, she acknowledges the ways of God also. That means she acknowledges the pain of God's disciplining hand. In the second part of verse 21, she says, the Lord has brought me home again empty. Or as we saw in verse 20, Naomi has now become Mara. It's bitter experience. To come back to the Lord, even this step is also very essential. Know the pain of the disciplining hands of God. To acknowledge that we need humility. Sometimes when we punish children, when we beat children, they will stand erect like a rock, right? As if we are not beating at all. We are using all the force, but it's not, affecting even the surface of the skin. Why that attitude? Is it because there is no pain? The pain is there, the pain is there, but it shows a rebellious attitude. Believers are also sometimes like that. When they come back to God, they now acknowledge the ways of God. But here, Naomi was different. She says, I am now Mara, I am now empty. God's hand has been very bitter towards me. It's failing. She humbles herself. And not only that, when you come to the next portion, we see her trusting in the grace of God also. She trusts in the grace of God. When you look at the latter portion of verse 21, she says like this, the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. Notice the term, the name that she uses for the Almighty. Lord. In that one verse, she uses that twice. Lord. He is Almighty, He is powerful, and the disciplining power has been very painful. She acknowledges that. At the same time, she uses that word Lord also, or Jehovah also. Jehovah means what? The title Jehovah speaks of His faithfulness. The covenant-keeping God. The one who is faithful to the covenant that He has given unto His people. Now she is trusting in that. God is faithful. And He should heal now. Now you remember, we refer to chapter 15 of Exodus. As I mentioned, there in Mara, God revealed Himself as Jehovah the Vicar, or Jehovah the Healer. Now when she says, I am Mara, it's actually trusting in God that God would act now as a healer. These three steps, these three elements are very much essential when we come back to the Lord. Accepting our responsibility. Yes, I have done it. Acknowledging the pain of His disciplining hand, that's humility. And not only that, trusting in the grace of God. I have nothing of my own. Here am I coming, not full, but empty. That's actually repentance. And only that kind of repentance is acceptable unto the Lord. Only when we do like that, the Lord will reveal Himself as Jehovah Rapha, or the Lord who is. Let's come to the book of Hosea. You see the repentance of the people of Israel in the book of Hosea. And it's interesting. It can be connected with this truth that we are considering now. Coming to chapter 6. When you look at the first four verses of chapter 6, we see the repentance of this people of God. The first three verses, we see that their determination to return. Say like, come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to the Lord, to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the Lord, unto the earth. This is the words of repentance. Is it a true repentance which is acceptable in the sight of God? And did the Lord accept it? Look at verse 4, what is the response that the Lord gives? O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. That means I cannot trust in the words that you are speaking. Your goodness is as the morning cloud. The morning, the cloud is there, but then after some time it's not there. Oh, the Lord is not accepting this repentance. See how they said, come, let us return unto the Lord, for He has told and He will heal us. That means He is the one who did all these things, so it is His responsibility to heal us also. Or what they meant is this, well, it is human to err, and it is divine to forgive. Yes, we are there. Now we have done the wrong thing, it's true. But we are after humans. And God, well, He cannot do any error. And He is God who should forgive. That's His character. His character is love. So He should heal us. And when it comes to verse 3, He's going forth is prepared as the morning. That means every day the morning comes, right? Every day the sun rises, right? Every day it happens. In the same manner, God also should forgive us. That's a casual attitude. And God cannot accept such things. And He says, what have I to do with you, O Ephraim and O Judah? This is unlike the attitude we saw in Naomi. But let's come to chapter 14. Chapter 14 of the same prophecy. There also we will look at the first four verses. There in verse 1 we read like this, God Himself is giving the advice to them. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the accounts of our lips. Hashu shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our God, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Look at verse 4. What is the promise he gives? I will heal their backsliding. I will heal their backsliding. When? The way they will come as it is being described in the first three verses. When they take the verse of confession, when they give up all the trust in the world, in Ashur or Egypt or whatever, when they mention about their own iniquity, and this, when they return unto the Lord, Lord will act as the Jehovah Rapha of old. That happened in the life of Naomi, and that should happen in the life of each one of us. And as I mentioned at the beginning, this return, in one measure or the other, every one of us needs. Because we depart always. Some specks of backsliding or some specks of Naomi is in everyone. May God give us grace that we may return to Him. And just as we see here, with a true repentance. When you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, there we see two kinds of repentance. Worldly repentance and godly repentance. Worldly repentance or the repentance of the world. That is worldly repentance. Work it out what? Death. That's what happened in the case of Judas Iscariot. He had that. The worldly repentance. Simply remorse. And it led him to death. But godly repentance. Godly repentance. Example, Peter. Right. That leads to salvation. Repentance unto salvation. And that repentance is something from which we should not repent. Continue with it. And the Lord decides that for our life. So that we have the repentance at arrival. Now let's move to the third one. There we see the, what is it, the third one? The result. The result of the arrival. That's in the first portion of verse 22. The first portion of verse 22. There we see the result of arrival of Naomi. What is the result? And let me tell you, that's very beautiful. So Naomi returned. And Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. Let me tell you one thing. If Naomi had not returned, tell me the rest of it. Ruth would have come to Bethlehem. And Ruth had not been added to the presence of the Lord because Naomi are not returning. Before we go further, let me clear an apparent contradiction over here. Notice carefully the first portion of verse 22. They will read like this. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. What's the meaning of that word return? In simple terms, what's the meaning of that word return? Yeah? To come back, right? Return means to come back. Okay. In the case of Naomi, it's a return. She came back, right? Because she left from Bethlehem. Now she is returning. What about Ruth? Is it a return? Did she ever go from Bethlehem? When we look at the other factors and all that, what we understand is this Ruth might not have visited even once this place, Bethlehem. Most probably this is a first visit. That's why it's such a reception and all that. So can we call it as a return? She's a Moabite, isn't she? She's not from Bethlehem. Then why is it called as a return? The writer clearly says that Ruth returned.
There is no clear explanation for it. Probably the one explanation is this. In the sight of this writer, and in the sight of the Bethlehemites, Ruth is so much one with Naomi. And whatever they think of Naomi, they are thinking about Ruth also.
Ruth returned, and so they think that she also returned. So maybe because of that, when it's told that she returned. So that may be our primary explanation for it. She is so much associated with Naomi. So what they think about her, they think about this daughter-in-law. They think of them as one family, right?
But then there is a spiritual reason also. When a sinner turns to the Lord, it is a return. It is a return. It's coming back. Coming back to the place from where we wanted him, Adam. So in both ways we can explain this verse. But let's come to that practical aspect which I mentioned at the beginning.
Without Naomi's return, well, this Ruth could not have come back at all. So for the coming of a sinner, well, our own restoration is very much essential. If we are not returning, if we are not keeping the spiritual warmth, the spiritual strength of ours, we none can come to the Lord at all.
Let's turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a portion which we see this truth very clearly told by David. And as we know, Psalm 51 is a penitent psalm. The psalmist is making loud and clear the repentance that he had because of the fall that he fell into. And after the repentance, he is writing this song and making the matter public. If he had not written this and made it public, well, we wouldn't have referred to this at this moment. But he didn't want that to hide it. He published it in a song. That's the psalm. Great attitude. Now look at verse 13. Verse 13. We just mentioned the beginning of it. Then will I be transgressors thy way. Look at verse 19. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness.
Then will I teach, then will I sacrifice.
When? When? You have to read the verses before that.
Have mercy upon me, verse 1. Wash me thoroughly, verse 2. I go on like that. And he's asking to purge him with hyssop, verse 7. Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Cast me not away. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of salvation. Then comes verse 13, then will I teach. In the first 12 verses, he is pleading for restoration. He has repented from the sin and he is asking for restoration. Oh, restore me, Lord. Then will I teach. It means if there is no restoration, I cannot teach. Look at the second portion of that verse 13. And sinners shall be converted unto thee, or roots shall come. And for that what should happen? Then will I see restoration. If sinners should be converted, well, there should be restoration in our life, day-to-day life. Otherwise, we cannot attract people to the Lord at all. We become an hindrance for others to come in. Let's read another portion. Coming to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Very familiar verses. There we see about the long-suffering of God. Or they say, Peter says, why the Lord is delaying His coming, the second coming. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. There we read like this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why is the Lord delaying His coming? He is long-suffering. Right? He is long-suffering to whom? Many a time the answer, how we think that's right, is that He is long-suffering to the world, the sinners, that they may repent. But that's not what Peter says. He is long-suffering to us. To us, to you and I. That we may fulfill the work. It's our duty to bring our best to the Lord. It's our duty to bring our best to repentance. It's our duty to bring roots with us to the presence of the Lord. And God is long-suffering to us with that we may be restored. That we may be rightly related with the Lord. Without that, this can't happen. Even then we come to the Acts of Apostles, we see the same truth. In chapter 5, we see the great problem in the church at Jerusalem. In connection with the widows there. Don't have to go into the details. But that was settled, then we have trial of the church increased. Restoration was followed by increase. And then you come to the other chapters also, like chapter 6 also we see the same truth. In chapter 6 too, there was problems. And then also, well, chapter 5 is Ananias and Sapphira. After that was settled, there was an increase in the church. In chapter 6, the problem was in connection with widows. Well, after that, when that is settled, we see an increase in the church again. May God give us grace that this truth may speak to our hearts. Let's rise up from where we have fallen. And then only we will be able to bring others to the Lord. Then only our life will be full, and the Lord desires that. Coming to the last one. There we see the rest at the arrival. It just simply speaks about the time they arrive. What is the time? At the beginning of barley harvest. Barley harvest is the beginning of the harvest time. It's followed by the wheat harvest. When you come to chapter 2, we see the mention of it. And after the wheat harvest comes, the harvest of the grapes. So this is the beginning. This is the beginning. Just the message of this that they got in Moab. Lord has visited. Rain has come. Plenty has come. So they came in the right time. The harvest. Another thing we have to remember. It is at the beginning of the barley harvest that they have some very important Feast of Jehovah. Passover is in this week. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is in this week. That is the 14th of the first month, then the 15th of the first month, and then on the 17th of the first month is, remember? The Feast of the First Fruits. All this speaks about what? Christ is our Paschal Lamb, right? Speaks of His death.
And then the first quote speaks about it, resurrection. Now these people have returned to Bethlehem, the house of bread, now to live the life of plenty, to live the life of blessedness, to enjoy the blessedness of the lost land. When you look at it spiritually, all the blessedness, the life and the abundance of it, we enjoy because of our Passover and the first fruit, the Lord's death and His resurrection. That's the basis. That's the foundation, the basis of all. And if that is the basis, our identification with that death and resurrection is a means for enjoying experientially the blessedness in the land of Bethlehem. As you see in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, I want to enjoy that power of resurrection, having conformed to His death. The life and power of resurrection we can enjoy now. The life in Bethlehem we can enjoy now. But it can happen only if we identify with the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ experientially. Reckon ourselves to be dead with Him. Reckon ourselves to be risen with Him and living in the newness of life. That should be practical in our day-to-day life. That's arriving in the beginning of the harvest. May God give us grace that these truths that we consider may be true in our life. We were looking at the arrival. Especially we were looking at the confession that she had of repentance. The Lord is able to heal Mara, reveal Himself as Jehovah-Rapha. And without that happening in our life, roots cannot be added. It's a big responsibility. May God give us grace that we may know it and see our condition, where we have fallen. Maybe others may not be knowing it, but the Lord knows, and we ourselves know. Our life cannot be effective unless we set those things aright in the eyes, in the presence of the Lord. May the Lord bless this way to our lives.